The Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 27. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. I want to draw your attention to the verse 22. And Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. One of the most outstanding and infamous characters in the pages of history is Pontius Pilate. Little is known of his past, except he was born into slavery. However, eventually obtaining his freedom, he rising out of the ranks of poverty, he became procurator of Judea. While he was a shrewd and a capable man, trained in all of the laws of evidence, yet he possessed a foul and a wicked temper. When the Jews objected to him taking money out of the korban, which was the sacred treasury, to build a viaduct, bringing fresh water into the city, he had many of them slain. Later, suspecting a number of Galileans of foul play, he mingled their blood with their sacrifices. And while the Jews detested him, yet knowing that he alone had the power to take a life, they brought the Lord before him. And Pilate, beholding the Savior dressed there in his seamless robe of white and his wrists bound with cords, he became deeply troubled. Fears concerning his future swamping his mind, he rose up from the judgment seat, going out onto the balcony, and there, facing the great crowd of people, he said, What shall I do then with Jesus? And he knew that day that before the sun would rise to its strength, he would either have to please the Jews and reject the Savior, or he would have to receive the Savior and displease the Jews. You see, the decision that faced Pilate that day was a very simple decision. It was, what would he do with Jesus? And like Pilate, the decision that faces you today is not one concerning the church, but it is one concerning Christ. It is, what will you do with the Savior? Indeed, the Lord challenging the Pharisees, he said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 42, What think ye of Christ? He didn't ask them what they thought about his disciples, but rather what they thought about him. On another occasion, he said, Whom say ye that I am? You see, the choice that faces you this morning is not a choice about religion, but rather it is a choice about the Redeemer. It is whether you will accept him as your Lord and Savior, or will you reject him? Sometimes when you talk to people about their souls, they say, Preacher, that's all very well, but you know, there are too many hypocrites in the church. My, the church is full of counterfeit Christians. They say one thing, and yet they do another thing. And yet if I was to reach those same people a £20 note, they wouldn't say, I don't want it, because there are too many counterfeit £20 notes. You see, the question that faces you this morning is not about the sins, but rather it is a question about the Savior. It is whether you will accept him as your Lord and your Savior, or whether you will reject him. It is about Christ. What will you do? What will you do today with the Savior? The Lord is here. He said, Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. The Lord is here in our gathering this morning. And like Pilate, you're sitting at the judgment seat. You must pass judgment. You must either accept him or reject him. And I wonder, what will you do? What will you do with Jesus this morning? And so I want to draw your attention to this decision that faced Pilate. I want you to notice firstly here the problem he faced. The Lord being brought before him, he later confessed in a letter to Tiberius, of all the decisions that he had to make, this was the most difficult and the greatest. And you notice here that it was an individual decision coming before the crowd. We read in verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? As we come into the pages of the New Testament, we find the Romans had divided Palestine into different domains. Pilate, realizing that the Savior's headquarters were in Capernaum, and thus under Herod's jurisdiction, he was greatly relieved. And as such, sending the Savior to Herod, he thought that he had finally got rid of him. However, just as he was congratulating himself, he heard the thud of many feet. And looking up, there was the Savior standing again before him. And while he then went to the crowd asking, what shall I do? We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and the verse 24. And Pilate gave sentence. You see, he couldn't push this decision to others, but he had to decide himself. You see, the question concerning Christ is not only a plain question, but it is a personal question. It cannot be pushed or passed to another. Indeed, the disciples earlier coming into the coast of Caesarea, the Lord asked them what they thought about him. In answering, they pointed out that some thought he was John the Baptist. Others thought he was Elijah. Some even thought that he was Jeremiah. And stopping them, we read in Matthew 16, verse 15, he, that is the Lord, saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And rather than merely repeating what others thought about him, he asked them, what do you think about me? You see, they had to make their own decision concerning the Savior. You see, the choice concerning Christ is intimately personal. Friends and even foes may influence you, but they cannot make that decision for you. You know, sometimes when you begin to witness to people and challenge them about the gospel, they say, well, preacher, do you know that my father's a Christian? Did you know that my mother is a Christian? Now, this morning, you may not appreciate it, but I want to tell you that if your mother or your father is a Christian, that is a great, great privilege. But you know, while they can pray for you, and they can even seek to persuade you to trust the Savior, they can't make that decision for you. The writer, taking up the pen, wrote, to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth which way his soul shall go. You see, in business, there are decisions that you can pass over. You can pass them up the line or you can pass them down the line. But here, my friend, is a question that you cannot pass to another. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister will make their choice. But you must decide. No point in looking around you this morning. No point in thinking to yourself, that's a question for so-and-so. It's a question for you. What will you do with Jesus? Will you accept him? Or will you reject him? Not only was it an individual decision, it was an inescapable decision. Facing the people, we read in verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate knew that the Savior was innocent. However, also knowing that his acquittal would create an uproar, he at first sought to avoid this question, pretending to be a Democrat and using the ancient custom attached to the Feast of the Passover in which one prisoner was set free. He then brought the Savior before the crowd. And by his words, he weighing the balances in favor of the Savior, he hoped that the people would release him. However, they crying again and again, crucifying him. Pilate then took a basin of water and he proceeded to wash his hands. And why he sought to avoid this question, he sought to avoid passing judgment on the Savior, yet he still had to do it. He still had to do it. You see, the question concerning Christ, it's not only important, it is inescapable. There is no avoiding of it. Indeed, Joshua, coming to the final days of his life, he beholding the presence of idols amongst his people, he summoned them together. And challenging them, he said in Joshua 24, verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites." And he reminded them they could no longer halt between two opinions. They had to choose that day before the sun would set whom they would serve. You see, this is a decision that you cannot wash your hands of. You must either accept or reject the Savior. You know, a young couple getting married, they came to an agreement that in life that she would make all the major decisions, or he would make all the major decisions, and that she would make all the minor decisions. After 20 years of married life, someone asked him, "Well, how does that work?" And the man responding, he said, "Great. In all these years, I've never had to make a major decision." But my friend, here is a decision that you cannot avoid. The writer said, choose you may. Or not choose you may, but choose you must and will. There's no getting away from this decision. Maybe you say, "Preacher, this morning I'm not going to answer it. I'm in the meeting, I hear the word of God, but I'm not going to make any decision today. I will put it off in older life. Then I will consider what to do." But my friend, by putting it off, by ignoring the Savior, you're doing something far worse. You're snubbing him. You see, this is a question you can't get away from. What will you do with Jesus? You must decide. You will either accept him or reject him. Not only is it inescapable, but you notice it was an inexcusable decision. Making his choice, we read verse 24, "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person.'" Earlier he had heard the reports given by the Pharisees, and he himself had questioned the Lord. And listening to their words and then to all the words that he heard, he came to the conclusion that the Savior was a just man. More than that, he received a message of warning from his own wife telling him, "Don't reject the Savior." And as such, in rejecting the Savior, Pilate here was not doing it in ignorance. He was breaking through the many barriers that the Lord had erected along his path. You see, in his dealings with men, God leaves them without excuse. He sets up barrier after barrier along their way. Indeed, he condemning the city of Capernaum, we read in Matthew 11, 23, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." The city of Capernaum had been exalted up into heaven, in that the Lord Jesus Christ had not only preached in her streets, but he had performed there miracle after miracle. And as such, the people of this city rejecting the Savior, they were not doing it in ignorance. They were sinning against light. You see, before God thrusts men down into hell, he always exalts them up into heaven. He gives them privilege after privilege after privilege. Maybe you say this morning, preacher, I can't understand it. I can't understand how a God of love could cast an individual into hell. My friend, if your soul is lost, it will not be because God didn't love you, but it will be because you climbed over his love. Not only has he allowed you to be born into a country where the gospel is preached, but my friend, he has drawn you to the house of God this Sabbath morning. He has spoken to you time after time. You see, if your soul in the day of judgment is lost, it will not be God's fault. It will be your fault. It will be because you have rejected him. How good God has been. Has he not sent individuals across your path with gospel tracts? Has he not drawn your attention, to posters and building setting forth the gospel? God has been speaking to you. God has been dealing with you. God has been gracious to you. And the question that faces you this morning is, what? What will you do with Jesus? He who went to the cross, he took your sin. He who died in your place. What will you do with him? Will you accept him or reject him? Not only the problem he faced, but I want you to notice also the pressures he faced. Gazing into the Savior's smitten face, Pilate was convinced that he was innocent. However, while his conscience cried out, "Release him," yet he rejected him. Why? You notice here it was because he feared the presence of the people. Hearing the angry cries of the mob, Pilate said in verse 22, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." While some depict Pilate as the worst of all tyrants, yet his conscience was not yet dead. Knowing that Christ was innocent and seeking to release him, he invoked the ancient Passover custom of setting one prisoner free. He imagining that the people would prefer to release an innocent man rather than a guilty man, he set before them Barabbas, who had committed insurrection. And in seeking to stir up sympathy towards the Savior, he referred to him here, not merely as innocent, but as the King of the Jews. However, while Pilate desired to set the Lord free, yet looking around and seeing that vast crowd and wondering, what will the people say? What will the people think? What will the people do if I receive the Lord? He rejected him. You see, the fear of man bringeth a snare. It turns the heart away from Christ. Indeed, Peter, coming into the outer court, we find him sitting down with the very enemies of Christ, hearing the rough language and seeing the hatred burning in their eyes. We read in Matthew 26, 74, "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew." And because of those that were around him, Peter denied the Lord. Fear is the sand in the machinery of light. It brings dread. It brings defeat. Ultimately, destruction. What's the most dangerous disease known to man today? It's not heart disease. It's not even cancer. It is androphobia, the fear of man. Charles Gibbon tells us in his book, Super Self, that man's greatest fear is the fear of human beings. I remember the night that I got saved. I was sitting in that gospel meeting. God was challenging my heart. I knew that I had a decision to make. But all I could think was, what will my friends say? What will my friends think if I tell them tomorrow that I got saved? But thank God, God enabled me to cast aside the fear of man. My friend, is that what is stopping you coming to Christ? A fear of going to work, a fear of having to face family who have no time for the gospel. Oh, I say to you, be a man, be a woman, do what's right. Don't let fear take you to a lost eternity. Don't let fear cause you to reject the Savior today. He not only feared the presence of the people, but I think also that day he feared the prospect of persecution. Pilate knew that if he released the Savior, the high priest would then turn the people against him. And accusing him of treason, he would then be brought before Caesar. And the likelihood was that he would lose his position and perhaps he would lose even his freedom. And fearing the wrath of the emperor of Rome more than the wrath of a holy God, he crucified the Savior. I say to you today, better to fear the judgment of the eternal courts than the judgment of earthly courts. Why? Because his wrath is eternal. Indeed, Agrippa, sitting under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, he looked down. And when he looked down, he saw the chains that were about Paul's feet. And seeing them, we read in Acts 26, verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And fearing lest that he would also end up in chains if he got saved, he hardened his heart and rejected the Lord. Better to suffer the foolishness of man than to suffer the fury of a holy God, because it is without end and without ease. I don't know about you this morning, but there's one place I hate going. I hate going to the dentist. But I tell you this, it's better to go to the dentist and to suffer him taking that big needle and pushing it into your gum. It's better to sit there and hear the grinding of that drill than not to go to the dentist and to suffer not a minute's pain, but to suffer weeks and months of pain and agony. Better to suffer the fury of man for a season than the fury of a holy God for all eternity. My friend, is that what's stopping you coming to Christ? Fear. Fear of what someone might say. Fear of what someone might do. Then I urge you today, my friend, to trust Christ. You see, to suffer for Christ is not to lose. To suffer for Christ is to gain. It brings great eternal gain. He also feared the probability of poverty. Fearing he would lose his position that day, Pilate rejected Christ. However, history records that shortly after this event, Pilate was recalled to Rome. And losing all, he was banished then to Gaul. You see, he lost all the things that he rejected Christ for. To reject that which is eternal, for that which is passing is foolish, because it'll soon be gone. I remember hearing about two men who were standing along the road as the hearse went down the road. And they were chatting one to another, and one turned to the other man and said, what do you think he left behind? The other man wisely said, everything. My friend, what are you rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ for? because one day you'll leave it behind. One day you'll leave it behind. Whatever your reason for rejecting the Savior, if you look at it without bias, you'll realize it's foolish. It is foolishness. Not only the problem he faced and the pressures he faced, but I want you quickly to notice the prospect he faced. Signing the Savior's death warrant, his future became black. Oh, so, so black. Notice there the peace it cost in verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude. Yielding to the clamorings of the mob, he crucifying the Savior, he then went out and he washed his hands. Why? Because his conscience troubled him. It was the act of a demented man. Indeed, history records that Pilate, unable to live with himself, that he eventually committed suicide. You see, without Christ, you're without Cam. This old world, it promises much, but it never provides peace. And my friend, you are to have peace. Peace in your heart, peace in your life. Peace in that moment when you go down into the valley of death. You need to trust Christ. Pilate rejecting him, he couldn't live with himself. He couldn't live with himself. And he took his life. Without Christ, there's no peace. Also the pain it caused. Look at verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. He delivered the Savior then into the hands of the soldiers. And as well as mocking him, they taking the whip, they tore open his back. You see, Pilate's rejection of the Savior brought to the Savior much pain. Christ has no joy in man's rejection of him. It brings him pain. Brings him sorrow. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and he pleaded with the city of Jerusalem. And seeing that city rejecting him, we're told that the Savior wept. Wept. Your rejection of the gospel not only pains the heart of the preacher, and pains the heart of that godly mother or that godly father, but it pains the heart of Christ. It brings him pain. It brings him agony. Not only that, but there was the penalty at Calvary. The Lord said, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. And rejecting Christ, Pilate not only experienced the wrath of Caesar and the wrath of the people, but he experienced the wrath of a holy God. That's how you answer a question, an interview, determines whether you get that job or not. So, my friend, how you answer this question will decide your eternal destiny. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him who took your sin, went to the cross, died in your place? What will you do with him who bids you to come? To come unto him. John and Charles Calvin were born in Noyon in France. John was thoughtful and reverent, and at the age of 27, he wrote the Institutes of the Christian Religion. When he died, he bequeathed to the world the principles of democracy and religious freedom. His brother Charles lived for self and lived for sin. And dying, he left nothing behind him. What made the difference? My friend, what made the difference? There was a day in John Calvin's life when he recognized he was a sinner and he accepted Christ to be his Lord, his Savior, and his Master. The hymn writer said, Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, despised by all. Hearken what meaneth this sudden call. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, What will he do with me? What you do with Jesus will depend what he'll do with you on that day. Oh, this Easter Sabbath morning, the risen Savior stands before you. And as Pilate had to make a decision to accept him or reject him, so you also this morning must make that decision. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with the Savior? Will you trust him and be saved? Or will you reject him and be lost and lost for all eternity? May God take his word and write it on.